Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to have the Transgressor service, the Woe to All Who Offend, which this week was fun. You'll like it. The late service, for those of you who are late risers. We've got Julio Diaz on the line. He is the host of the Pensacola Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook, and also Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays. Julio, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
So I got feedback from my son on this, but what did you think of Fast X?
26.
A 26?
Yeah, in case you're wondering, that's the number of times the word family is used in the movie.
Oh, so there's a theme.
Yeah, which I was surprised. I felt that was probably lower than I would have thought it would have been.
Yeah, it is, but interesting. That's kind of their mantra, right?
Yeah.
Is, you know, family first and everything. So is it as big, as dumb, and as fun as we expect it to be?
It's completely preposterous. It's utterly ridiculous. It doesn't hold up to 1 minute of critical thought. But by golly, is it entertaining. I mean, it is. You know, you really do kind of you just go in, you turn off your brain, you enjoy the chemistry and the star power and the stunts and the explosions, and you walk out of there and you're like, well, that was dumb, but I had a good time.
The whole Fast and Furious, I mean, it is a comic book without superheroes, right? It's
It absolutely is. I mean, the stuff that they do, not just the car stunts, but some of the fights and the. There's one point in time where Charlize Theron, like, physically picks up Michelle Rodriguez and bashes her head up against the wall. I'm like, okay, a real person is dead. She doesn't even take 2 seconds to get up.
Right. You know, exactly.
It's the car Avengers. It absolutely
it
is.
No, but the biggest, dumbest, fun moments are the ones you remember. You remember the crazy runway scene. You remember the Arctic submarine. You remember the tank. That's what makes it fun, is you know it's crazy and you don't care because it's so much fun. So this is what it's supposed to be, basically. Is that the review?
Yeah, basically. I mean, there's some people that may be getting tired of this formula, and I get it. There's been 10 of these. I, on the other hand, have not seen all 10 of these. I came in at like number 6 or 7, I think.
Okay.
So I'm not tired of it yet. I do feel like it was a little bit padded. You know, they came into this with it. This is going to be the last two movies. 10 and 11 were going to be the last two movies.
Yeah.
And now in the last week, they're saying, well, maybe it's going to be 3 movies and not 2 movies.
Maybe we're going to twilight the ending a little bit and make it into 2 or something. Yeah. Okay.
So
well.
I do feel like there's some padding, a little bit of padding in there. But, you know, I think people will be happy. And I think if there's a character you love from this franchise, without spoiling anything, they're probably in here somewhere.
All right, we'll take that. That's a super cryptic tease that doesn't spoil anything.
There's some cameos that I at least didn't expect.
Oh, all right, very good. The other movie that nobody's going to care about because Fast X is out, but Master Gardener, how's this?
Yeah, getting okay reviews. This is written and directed by Paul Schrader, who, you know, of course, wrote Taxi Driver and has been, you know, a longstanding writer and director. Kind of has a kind of a theme to his work. It's usually about a soul man and who's, you know, troubled in some way. And then there's a woman that, you know, drives him, et cetera, et cetera. So a little bit of that going on. This is Joel Edgerton starring as the title character in this. He is the master gardener of this beautiful southern estate that is owned by this wealthy dowager, played by Sigourney Weaver. She asks him to take her great niece under his wing and apprentice her. And she's played by Quintessa Swindell, who, if you saw Black Adam, she played Cyclone in Black Adam. She's been a few other things as well.
Okay, all right.
Of course, he has a mysterious past that starts to come to light, and it's kind of it sounds like it's very staid, but it's really a thriller.
Pacing should be better than you would expect. Okay, all right.
Yeah, good performances in this one, but the overall is running about 67% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay, what are you guys going to watch next week?
I'm not sure yet. I know we've got the Little Mermaid opening next week. There's a lot of other smaller films opening next week. So check out the Facebook group, and we know what we're doing. We will put it up there.
Outstanding. Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Do follow them. Also, Let's Go Pensacola tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Julio Diaz, as always, my friend, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next Friday.
No worries. Thank you.
815 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth, she is fantastic. I mean, genuinely fantastic. She and her team, they know how to get it done quickly, get it done sometimes for above list price in a day or two. Like, both of those are relatively common, even under today's environment, different from last year, obviously. 230-plus homes sold last year, 65 either sold or under contract as of the first quarter of this year, so on pace for even better this year. And listen, I talk about her as a seller's agent, and that's true, but as a buyer's agent, because she understands the seller's mindset so well, she knows what they will and won't negotiate on, what price is likely to come in from other people. If that price is too high, the market won't sustain that. You can do better. Like, all of that stuff she really knows intimately. So especially if you're moving into a house for the first time from renting, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And I mentioned this a little bit earlier. I-10, this is east of Pine Forest, between exit 7 and exit 10. Very, very slow moving. This is eastbound. And somebody texted in and says there's people in the median on I-10. This is east of Pine Forest. So that's what's happening there. Also, I'm not showing an accident, but I'm showing very, very slow slowness and stop and go. On Lillian, this is both directions, west of Blue Angel Parkway. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
News Radio Pensacola. He's on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost, although this week it's all praise. First, we want to honor the fine work of promoting equity being done in California public schools. In the late 1990s, California, which had been enrolling only its highest achieving eighth graders in algebra, realized that the vast majority of minority students were taking ordinary math. So they formed a plan called Algebra for All in eighth grade to remedy the race gap. Unfortunately, it turned out that the unprepared minority students did very poorly and often had to retake the course, putting them even farther behind than they had been. In response, San Francisco pioneered the Algebra for None program, making it illegal to give anyone algebra in the eighth grade. Following the advice of St. Harrison Bergeron, they made everyone get the same math instruction regardless of past performance. Now, as it turns out, the result of this policy was essentially no change in outcomes like AP scores for white students, whose families largely chose expensive tutoring, summer courses, and private schools to make up for what the public schools weren't offering anymore. Meanwhile, black students fared no better than before on AP tests and actually saw many higher performing minority students end up behind compared to where they would have been under the old system of placing children in the classes based on individual merit. Thus, even though these various efforts have generally harmed black students, we applaud the courageous way California has acted to create equity in theory, even when they knew it was creating inequity in practice for those they were trying to help. As Frankenheimer's third dictum reminds us, we only learn how deep our commitment is to helping people when we find out how much our help has actually harmed them. So true. Whether algebra for all or algebra for none is not the point. The real thing is to make sure that we treat every unique and individual student as if they are exactly the same. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, I want to encourage the Oscar Mayer Company for bravely engaging in a wonderful act of relanguaging this week, as they have officially changed the name of the bizarrely misogynistic Wienermobile to something significantly less offensive, the Frankmobile. Dear Otherin, we recognize the courage required to abandon a widely known, widely, though wrongly, loved, and highly recognizable brand like the Wienermobile for something completely unknown after 87 years of branding success. Anytime someone, especially a filthy, greedy corporation, is willing to change a name, we're all for it, just on the principle that changing words is our most holy sacrament. However, I do have two small notes of criticism. First, they did not change the name for the right reason. According to Oscar Mayer, this is entirely intended to emphasize to consumers that their famous product is technically an all-beef frank and not merely a jumble of random bits of extra meat. It really isn't a wiener, after all. But why change names merely for the sake of advertising value when they could have bragged they were changing names in order to affirm the sacred cause of gender eradication? As we all know, the real popularity of this particular icon was always the double entendre of a sexual innuendo that made people snicker as they snacked. And if Oscar Mayer would have said they were desexualizing the hot dog, we would have given them three pink hat stickers for virtue signaling. Instead, they make it sound like it's just a business decision, probably because they're afraid of a Bud Light-esque backlash if they gave the real motive. We certainly don't like to see a righteous renaming have to hide underneath the pretext of a mere business choice. But the second criticism we have is the actual name itself. Since we all see the misogyny behind the popularity of the Wienermobile moniker, continually parading its fully elongated self around in public like the giant nomadic phallus we all recognize it to be, we had hoped they might opt for a full rebrand to maybe an entirely different product line, perhaps the Bologna Buggy, or the Bacon Bringer, or the Lunchable Wagon. But we recognize they probably wanted to keep costs down and not have to buy an entirely new fleet of vehicles, so perhaps just a little more work on the name would have been good. Now, obviously some terms like the Wandering Footlong of Fun, or the Weenie Wheeler, or the Mystery Meat Machine would not have been much better than the Wienermobile from a sexism standpoint. But perhaps the hot dog cart, or the Frankfurter jalopy, or even the big roaming red sausage of mouth pleasure. Well, maybe not that one either, now that I hear it out loud. In any case, for a company to discard such a powerful and offensive brand for whatever reason is cause for celebration. Good for you, noble maker of mystery meats. Now we can all wish we were an Oscar Mayer. Frank, woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, we want to honor the excellent work being done in Pensacola, Florida, by a local citizen who brought enlightenment to the city council when she explained that noise ordinances are fundamentally racist.
I want to shed light on a troubling aspect of our history, a history marked by the systemic targeting of black businesses through the insidious weapon of noise complaints.
Yes, that's right. As she explained, the kind of noise black people make is considered bad noise, but the kind of noise white people make is considered good noise, an obvious example of systemic oppression.
It's because the soundscape of our public spaces is designed and regulated to prioritize the comfort and preferences of the dominant culture.
And since being noisy is just the kind of thing black people do because of their culture, efforts to make them be quiet are just another version of Jim Crow laws that punish them for their blackness. After all, we all know the term white noise refers to that innocuous, even helpful sort of background sound that calms people so well they even purchase devices to generate it for them. In contrast, imagine the confusion if you told someone, "Yeah, I just bought a thing because I wanted to add some black noise to the room." See?
Quiet, subdued tones are promoted as the norm, while the vibrant sounds of cultural celebrations, religious rituals, or everyday conversations of non-dominant communities are often deemed disruptive or even threatening.
In other words, not only are black people incapable of being quiet, as she says, but asking them to be quiet is just another way of denying their blackness and forcing them to be more white. So instead of continuing to tell black Americans to sit still and be quiet like good little whites, learn to cherish the noise and the celebration. It's who they are. So when that black teenager rolls up next to you blasting his anthems of racial justice, remind yourself that he's not being a bad citizen, he's being a good African American. And when that BIPOC house down the street is having a party at 2 a.m., they aren't being bad neighbors, they're being the best of neighbors. And if only you weren't so white, you'd hear it that way. Thus, instead of laws that treat whites and blacks the same, what we should really have is a different law for each race. We should tell white people to be white and prohibit them being noisy, and we should tell black people to be black and prohibit them being quiet. Since loudness is such an inherently black behavior, why not make it mandatory? We certainly don't want to be guilty of encouraging them to be white, do we? And if this separate but equal noise ordinance concept seems like some form of, you know, racial segregation to you, well, perhaps you just aren't listening with the right color ears. So I say to blacks everywhere, we hear you. And even if it hurts our delicate white eardrums, we know that hearing you is good, because that's who you are. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Before you depart, a few quick announcements. Tuesday night is a school board meeting, and we encourage you all to show up to protest the administration's continued indifference to our demand that they replace school buses with pedal trolleys in an effort to reduce the carbon footprint of our precious children and give them much-needed exercise. We need 4 people on the sign-making committee, 3 people to write chants, and at least 2 experienced tambouriners for the rhythm section. See Bronwyn in the back for sign-up sheets. As always, bras and footwear are optional. For refreshments this week, Sandra Whitestone has kindly brought us some lovely homemade kale brownies made entirely from wheat grown with human compost, ethically sourced Pacific seaweed, non-GMO carob powder, walnut milk, and of course, consensually donated cage-free emu eggs. Sheila and Guinevere, I believe, laid this week's offering. And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Hey, 26 on News Radio 92. I'm sorry. Guinevere and this week's offering.
Oh. Bras optional. I mean, I do have notes. Fully elongated nomadic phallus. Big roaming red sausage of mouth pleasure. And the bologna
Well, when you
buggy.
Say it that way, it doesn't
Second,
sound proper at all.
The bologna buggy. No, I know. Dude.
You know what? You know what's funny is I am sure people hear this and like, oh my God, he sounds so racist. That's the point. This woke stuff is racist, and that's why, you know, woke Andrew sounds like a racist, because that viewpoint is right. Anyway,
I'm
right.
Sure that's not why they think it's racist.
We'll see.
Remember the first time I heard it and I quit.
I know. Then here you are back again.
Great.
Tell them about.
I'm just kidding. I'm happy beer.
Traffic.
Somebody wants links to your thing. Slow on Lillian, both directions. This is west of Blue Angel Parkway. And people in the median on I-10 and on eastbound, very slow eastbound on I-10 eastbound. And this is east of Pine Forest, and it's between exit 7 and exit 10. So if you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. The very thinly, I love the way David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The U.S. and other G7 countries now rolling out a package of sanctions against Russia over its war with Ukraine. This comes as President Biden and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky are gathering with G7 leaders in Japan today. This morning, NASA announcing that the company that's tasked with building a landing system to put humans on the moon. It's part of the Artemis 5 mission that plans to put 4 people on the moon sometime this decade. And a group of topless dancers in Los Angeles are now the only unionized group of strippers in the U.S.
This is incredible. This is a victory for dancers. This is the first union for dancers in the 21st century.
And that's Megan. She's the lead of Strippers United, which is the name of the union, the labor union. The North Hollywood bar they work at recently withdrew their opposition to the dancers unionizing and has agreed to recognize the labor union.
Well, like every good union, this one lifts and separates. 8:29 on News Radio 92.
Dude, if we go out with you because of this, I turned your mic off, David. I'll speak for us.
He's passed out.
Can you just work on not getting us fired, please?
Give me a minute. Oh, great. Now he's made me laugh so much I can't go on. Oh.
So the rap is coming up, and I'll tell you, we're going to have Travis Peterson and Anna Higginson.
Yeah.
This is going to be great.
I think the Stripper United story is definitely making next week's ceremony.
Oh,
so,
do you, doctor?
No. Oh, can we just, there's got to be something in here I can go to that's just plain little, fun, silly, I don't know. The city of Milton got a new fire truck. Hey, how about that? You know,
it's great.
They just got a brand new fire truck and $600,000, and it just got delivered yesterday. And it's a what is the actual title of it here? It's a pumper. It's a combo truck. Came from Pierce. That's my only note of concern, is because Escambia County had two lemons out of four from Pierce, and so they don't buy from Pierce anymore. But, you know, Milton did buy from Pierce, so hopefully it's going to be fine. That might have been a COVID thing. It's hard to tell. Anyway, so it is a Sabre Custom Triple Combination Rescue Pumper, and it's on our Facebook page. So kudos to the city of Milton getting another new fire truck. Love that. David, what do you have coming up, sir?
A McDavid man charged at a shooting in Atmore. We'll have more after Fox.
News. I'm Chris Foster. President Biden's day in Japan at the G7 summits included a session on Russia's war in Ukraine, visits to two shrines, and a wreath-laying ceremony, and a meeting with a survivor of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima.
We must teach this history so that we can understand the choices in front of us.
First Lady Jill Biden at an event for spouses at the summit. The president plans to meet separately tomorrow with the leaders of Japan, India, and Australia. A man accused of leaking classified military secrets, including documents about the war in Ukraine, has a bond hearing this afternoon.
Federal prosecutors want 21-year-old Jack Teixeira to stay locked up until his trial on espionage charges, but his attorneys are urging the judge in Worcester, Massachusetts, to release the Air National Guardsman to his father's home.
Fox's Matt Napolitano. Teixeira was arrested on April 13th, accused of sharing secrets in a social media chat room. Stocks start the day a little bit higher on Wall Street. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, it's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 76 right now. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola. Looks like an absolutely gorgeous morning out there. Police in Atmore say they've charged a McDavid man with attempted murder after a woman was shot in a hotel room yesterday. 39-year-old Luis Becerra was arrested after police found a woman shot at the Southland Hotel on Thursday. Investigators say Becerra was identified as a suspect and found shortly after traveling on I-65. He was arrested on attempted murder charges, taken to the Escambia County, Alabama Detention Center. That victim airlifted to a trauma center, and right now, no update on her current condition. Next week, there's going to be some traffic disruptions. Drivers won't be able to use the major east-west corridor of Longleaf Drive due to the demolition and reconstruction of a bridge on Wymart Road. The alternative routes will be Michigan Avenue to the south or I-10 to the north, and crews will be working to install new stormwater drainage as well. Weather permitting, they say this work is expected to last about 3 months. The road's scheduled to reopen in August. Dr. Tim Smith speaking publicly for the first time since his surprising firing on Monday. In an interview with Channel 3's Tanner Stewart, Smith says up until last fall, he thought he and the Escambia County School Board were moving in the same direction. And a good number of people felt things were headed the right way.
There's another large group in the district that is more wanting to see the district be pushing forward and being really on the cutting edge. And yeah. So I had some initiatives, and I think that perhaps made some people uneasy.
And Dr. Smith says that through all of this, he's hoping that the district is able to move forward and reach the potential that it has. Pensacola police say three people have been arrested in St. Johns County for stealing wallets from shoppers here in Pensacola. Those suspects identified as 58-year-old Robert Lahori, 42-year-old Megan Steele, and 60-year-old Tari Pope Fanfan. Those three and a fourth individual were also arrested in St. Johns County for similar offenses there back in April. And last February, PPD put out a video showing two of those suspects stealing an elderly victim's wallet at the Publix on Cervantes. Tomorrow, there's a chance to see the 6th Ranger Training Battalion out of Camp Rudder in action.
Actually do a parachute jump out of the UH-60. And then following that, they'll be able to see Rangers in action, where a Ranger squad will go and assault an objective similar to the way that our ranger students train.
And that is Hunter Wood. He's a ranger instructor at Camp Rudder, and he's inviting the community out to their open house. Again, that's happening tomorrow. Starts at 10:30 in the morning, lasts until about 3 in the afternoon. And Camp Rudder's at Eglin Air Force Base. In addition to the demonstrations, they've also got lots of other things happening, a car show, food trucks, reptile show, and a Race the Ranger 4-mile run. If you're interested in participating in the 4-mile Ranger run or the car show, though, you do need to sign up ahead of time. Get all that information online at the 6th Ranger Training Battalion Facebook page. It's posted now. 8:35 right now, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Candy, what are you seeing out there?
This is brought to you by Fresh from Florida. And at Fresh from Florida, hey shoppers, it's a local farmer letting you know, you guys can still talk, that Florida watermelon's in season right now. Learn more at followfreshfromflorida.com from the Florida Department of Agriculture. And we're seeing a slowdown I-10 eastbound between the Pine Forest exit and the Carr City exit. As I understand, there are people in the median. Didn't say why, but that's what the slowdown is. I guess people aren't watching. And then a slowdown on Lillian. This is both directions west of Blue Angel Parkway. East Bay Boulevard, Navarre closed. South of Copple, part of the ongoing drainage improvement project. Hangout Festival is this weekend, so watch for heavy traffic in Gulf Shores and Orange Beach. And Billy Bowlegs is happening in Fort Walton this weekend, so keep that in mind, too. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
Another warm and humid day with a small chance of rain in the afternoon. Rain chance at about 30%. Temperatures warming into the mid to upper 80s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. For your Saturday, beautiful weather with a small chance of the afternoon shower. 30% chance of rain in the afternoon and evening with a high near 88. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. And our trend continues into your Sunday. 30% chance of rain with a high near 87. This is Brooke Richardson for the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, it is a beautiful morning, partly cloudy skies, 76 in Pensacola, 77 in Gulf Breeze, and 72 in Milton.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory to our truck to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing.
Going on now, save 35% off factory direct windows and doors. Call 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
Join Cole Commander of Commander Air today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn about the newest in air conditioning and heating technology and ultra-high efficiency affordable equipment, plus recommended maintenance for your existing units. Call 850-437-1620 or text in your questions for Cole from Commander Air, your hometown heating and cooling specialists for three generations.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Your money now. This morning, the market opening up just a bit. The Dow up 1864 at 335.5604. The S&P 500 up 1066 at 4208.71. NASDAQ up 2304 at 12714.96. And our U.S. 10-year bond rate up today as well, 3.7%. Gold price is up 460 at $1,964.40. Silver prices at $23.81 today. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warning of severe economic consequences if the nation's debt ceiling isn't addressed. She met with prominent bank CEOs yesterday in Washington to discuss the debt limit and recent bank failures. Ford Motor Company recalling 422,000 SUVs due to a problem with rear view cameras.
The recall affects Ford Explorers and Lincoln Aviators built between 2020 and 2023. Also covered are 2020 through 2022 Lincoln Corsairs. All of those vehicles have the 360-degree rear cameras. Ford says they've received reports of 17 minor accidents. They're working with the supplier to fix the problem. I'm Brad Siegel.
Thanks, Brad. And Wendy's is testing a new underground robot delivery system to pick up orders. Wendy's is partnering with a company called Pipe Dream, a hyper-logistics company. These instant pickup portals will be next to parking spots. Robots will carry meals underground to customers' cars. The company also said earlier this month they're teaming up with Google to add AI to their menus to answer customer questions and take their orders. It's 8:39. Next news at 9 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
Everybody jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip, hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp enough.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
Yes, it's a wrap. It's the time of the week when we hang out with a couple of friends here in the studio and just talk through the week. And unfortunately for us this week, nothing happened. So there's I don't know what we're going to talk about all this time. I've got Travis Peterson with me and Anna Higgins. You know what? I don't know. Do you guys, either of you have titles you want me to use of any kind? I normally asked before the show and I failed. Just
Tara's husband.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Tara's husband and Anna.
Capital Queen.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, all right. You know, she's one of those L people. She's a lobbyist, you know, and an analyst and an advisor and, you know, all those kind of things. And frankly, one of the sharpest political minds that I know. But let's start with this. So this week, the school board, in case you hadn't heard, had some meetings and they got heavily scolded by the state board of education, perhaps appropriately. And then they got told, fix this or else we're going to take your pay away for a year. So they came back home and they actually did have a vote to approve the Charter Schools USA for, you know, it's like a 30-year contract, but we'll see how it performs. So they avoided getting their pay taken away. Nobody remembers that part of the story. They actually ended the Warrenton Middle School stuff because what happened then after is Paul Fetsko motioned to fire or terminate the contract or, you know, not renew the contract, whatever you're going to call it. Tim Smith. He got joined by two other board members who agreed with him, and then Tim Smith gave a long, passionate, defiant attack back at Paul Fetsko and Kevin Adams, and then had a very, very, very uncomfortable stage exit, stage right. The door was locked, stage left through the backs of the chairs of all. It was, and then he's still at work until the 31st, despite all of this. Okay, so where to start? Travis, thoughts?
So the school board took away the superintendent's pay.
Oh, fair. Yeah. They're awarding it to the interim or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, no, listen, I think this is a complete disaster. You know, the ballot measure was close, but the guy had 2.5 years, one of which was COVID. He was qualified. Who's going to come here now?
I do worry about...
Like, we are, you know, Disney's left. Disney chose not to come here because of politics. Who's going to come here because of our school board's politics?
I see this in the city of Milton. They're hiring a new city manager, and other than employees who are already in place, who wants that job? Have you watched them? You know, who wants a Escambia County Commission? Of course, nobody wants that job because who wants that job? Who would want to work with these people? And now I see that with the school board. Only somebody who's not watched these meetings, it seems like to me, would want to have this job. Anna?
Right. I have had a lot of friends say, hey, why don't you run for this, that, or the other locally? And I say, I'd probably rather get hit by a bus
right
at this point. But, you know.
I feel like that's a reality show in the works, by the way. Public office or bus strike?
That's a hard call. But also, you've got this lawsuit against this Escambia County School District from Random House Publishing. So we've got a lot going on. But, you know, the local, you know, and I do feel for them, you know, commissioners, city council people, school board members, I do feel for them because they kind of inherited a mess. But I'm going to agree with you, Travis, on that. That's just who would want to come here. This is one reason I have a kid that does not, you know, attend a public school system.
You know, I will say this. I always liked Tim Smith. I think he's a very honorable, decent guy. He's very thoughtful. I think from all the reports, he's great with the teaching side of things. You know, the leadership side, the, you know, public person who represents the school district side, that was never his strength. I certainly hope for the best for him. But other people are saying this was a long time coming. This is long overdue. They have very vehement opinions against him. I just didn't, the way it was done, you know, this kind of add-on item at the last minute, which maybe wasn't a surprise given that he was up for review, but, you know, that's what bothered me about it. And again, you know, what message does this send? You know, right at the end of school, you're in total chaos and turmoil in the school system. This is, I'm sure, the only thing that the teachers and the principals are talking about, and unfortunately the kids are hearing this. And you know, honestly, I heard, Mike Kohler, who's the District 2 representative, his wife teaches at Warrington Middle. And I heard him make the comment the other day, I thought it was a very on point. He said, how awful must it be if you're a student at Warrington Middle and you watch the news or you listen to the radio or you pick up the paper and all you see is how screwed up your school is and how they might close the school and all. How do you go to school with a positive attitude? That's fair, right? That's a fair criticism.
My wife taught at Spencer Bibbs in the early 90s when they started the A-plus plan. Mm. And those kids were being told by the governor that you're an F school. These kids can't learn. These teachers are terrible. It's not that's the unintended consequence of these very public debates. And I think it is a tragedy. I mean, we have parts of our community and schools that really need help and shouldn't be sort of tossed around. I also think, you know, when you're a guy like Tim Smith, and interestingly enough, it's been reported that the person they want to replace him hasn't accepted the job yet. So that might be a bit of a red flag here, school board. Like, the person that you've been trying to get in there, at least as of the other day, one of the school board members said he hadn't taken the job yet. So, who's going to run the ship?
And I will say this, you know, Kevin Adams has been opposed vehemently to having the appointed superintendent. And so, is his motive here just because he wants to change out somebody else for Tim Smith? Or is his motive like, I want to blow this thing up so we can go back to an elected superintendent? And I don't know.
I think that's a great point. And you're right. These unintended consequences are difficult to deal with. And I agree with you, Andrew. This was probably not done the way it should have been done. And that's unfortunate because not only is this local community watching, the state's watching.
Absolutely.
As well.
And they are clear. I mean, I feel like if they could have, gotten out the paddle, with Superintendent Smith and Chair Fetsko, they would have. You know, unfortunately, it was a Zoom call, so that option wasn't available to them. We're talking to Travis Peterson and Anna Higgins here in studio with me. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Thanks for painting the picture, though. That's so great. Sorry, Dr. Smith. Highway 90 in Woodbine showing an accident, but not showing a roadblock this morning. Aurora and 59th Avenue, that's just off 57th, showing an accident also with no roadblock. Riola Place and 98 showing an accident with no roadblock. And it looks like that's all. Use caution, of course, wherever you are. Traffic tips 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You know, somebody texts in here, it's a really interesting point, says, I wish that we, the school district staff, could vote on who gets the job rather than appointed or elected. We know the needs of the school district. We work in it every day. We know better than everyone. I would not, so elected officials need to have a say. I mean, that's how the people, have their influence over a publicly operated system. But that's not a terrible idea. the people who work the front lines, they know who's good and bad, maybe they don't, I don't know. Anyways, it's an interesting thought. We have had so much this week. Let's talk about Governor DeSantis. And just for clarification, I would say that Anna is a big fan and Travis is not.
Fair.
Which is, listen, you know what? I tell you guys that I have friends on both sides of the aisle and I love to hang out with everybody. This is a good example of it. These are both people I dearly love and appreciate their opinions. They will disagree with each other vehemently and me, and that's fine. That's what I appreciate. So let's start with the pro, Anna. Which one do you want to start with? The ban on transgender surgeries and therapies, the ending of DEI, I don't know, it's been everything this week.
There's been a lot.
Yeah, the abortion law got signed into effect. That won't go into place yet, but the fight with Trump. Let's start with the LGBT stuff, or the transgender stuff.
Okay.
I really struggle with this because I have parental rights on the one hand, and I want to be empathetic, but the more I thought about it, the more convinced I was that this is the right move when it comes to minors.
Absolutely. As a minor, you can't get a tattoo without your parents' permission. You can't. There's a lot of things you can't do as a minor. However, irreversible, whatever you want to call them, hormone blockers or all these things people are saying are reversible, are not. In fact, the science is not on the side of the fact that they are reversible. And surgeries before you even have, you know, in a developed brain as a child. A lot of people will go so far as to say it's child abuse. I will keep that comment to myself. I'm not going to go that far, but I am going to say that absolutely we protect children in this state from other types of harm. And this, I believe, is at least to some extent an irreversible potential harm done to a child underage who is not capable of consent for this type of significant irreversible procedure.
And Travis, I don't actually know where you are on this issue. I know a lot of people who are liberal in general but disagree with this particular issue. So I don't know. You think a banning of it for minors is the right approach, or do you think that's a mistake? What do you think?
You know, I really struggled with this one. No surprise, my wife's actually had a double mastectomy. I know what it does. It's very painful. I'm not sure I can conceive of a situation where I would be comfortable with my daughter doing that voluntarily as a teenager, you know, or as a minor. I don't, despite the struggles that these kids are going through,
absolutely,
obviously,
yeah.
You know, and sort of the hormone blockers and, you know, I think there's a lot of science that still needs to be determined as to what's reversible, what's not reversible. I think this comes down a lot to kind of what world are we creating where, you know, we're making, I don't want the government making laws for me as a parent.
Agreed.
Right. What book my child reads or doesn't read. And now, you know, irreversible surgeries. Yeah, my kid wants to get an earring. Well, you know what? He can't do that, or, you know, or she can't do that without their parents' permission. So there are some parental rights that need to be enforced. The other thing I always wonder about some of these policies is, like, how often is this happening that the entire state government has to bring to bear its yeah. you know, full power to sort of outlaw this? I mean, I don't know the answer. How many instances are there of these surgeries? How many doctors are willing to do these surgeries on 12, 13, 14-year-old kids?
Right.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, for me, what was helpful to me in kind of pushing me, and I have been pushed on this issue since I started thinking about it. One is that the countries that were kind of ahead of us on the curve,
exactly.
You know, that, you know, I remember when I was a kid, you'd hear about, like, you know, Sweden, you know, was the place where you'd go to get your sexual change, your transsexual surgery or whatever, sex change operations. And those countries are now going the other way on this. So they're ahead of the curve on us. They've done the experiment and they're going the other way. I find that, you know, persuasive. And then the other thing is just that when it comes to what we do and don't let kids do, even with parental permission, you know, they can't get married at certain ages. They are not supposed to have sex at certain ages. There's all kinds of things that are much less permanent, or at least in that kind of that same zone, than what's being proposed and done to at least some of them. And I say, well, if we won't let them do that because they're minors, then we probably shouldn't let them do this, even with their parents' consent, because they're minors. And so that's kind of where I come down on it. The other one that came in this week was the higher education bill. Massive controversy over this. I'll start with you, Travis. The changes are pretty sweeping. The argument from the governor is, and I agree with him, that we're bringing balance to a system that's been so far to the left for so long. This is what's needed. Pick whatever part of this bill you want to talk about, whether it's banning DEI, putting in the hiring from the president instead of hiring by the teachers, or any of the other parts of this you want to talk about. What do you think?
You know, I think there's a lot of parallels to the local superintendent. Do we want politicians leading our education system, or do we want education professionals leading our education system? Now, that's going to be an inevitable tension. And I'm sure there's some give and take on both ways. But, you know, the way I look at a lot of the things that came out of this legislative session is, what happens in 10 or 20 years when, you know, the folks on my side of the aisle are the supermajority? What happens, because demographically that's where the state is going? What sort of crazy stuff are some of my crazy liberal friends going to force on the state that I may not even be comfortable with? So I really struggle with this idea that the state should be, that politician, that our education system should be used as a political tool. You know, you don't like the college, don't go to that college. You don't like that professor, don't take that class. Again, there's a lot of sort of individual choice and individual freedom, to use DeSantis's favorite word, that's being stripped away from us right now. I want my child to be able to take the classes they want to take. for the education that they want to pursue. And if and as this state and as our country and as our economy becomes more diverse, are we going to continue to lose talent that isn't just sort of white conservative folks who, you know, are comfortable coming to schools in Florida?
Yeah, I've said this on the air several times. I don't know for sure where we're going to end up 5 or 10 years from now. It could be that we have a sort of liberal flight that winds up harming the quality of higher education. It could be that we have the right kind of liberals who would come and be welcoming to that open debate environment, and more conservatives, a more balanced approach in 10 or 5 or 10 years. And I'm hoping that's the case. Right now, it's an experiment. Anna, what do you think?
I think it's a good point to say, do we want politicians controlling our schools? Well, no, actually, I don't. I think legislators were hesitant to step in here, but I think their hand has been forced, because we also don't want our tax money, our dollars and state money going to fund any type of program that's going to be discriminatory against any race, creed, religion, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I think that this DEI bill, for example, and you look at the quote unquote book banning bills, a lot of that's been misinterpreted.
Misunderstanding for sure.
A lot of it is people think, oh, well, the government or the state is now disallowing this group and disallowing that group. No, actually, we're just keeping state funds from going to those interests, those special interests. And I have absolutely no issue with that. And, you know, back in the day, we used to call a lot of this common sense and the golden rule.
Yeah.
Treat others as you would want to be treated, no matter who they are. And, you know, if that happened and we use common sense in what, you know, materials we're giving children and so forth in the schools, we wouldn't have to legislate this.
You know, one of the things that I think has been missing on the whole book question is how many of these books are mandatory textbooks, mm-hmm. as in if my child is in this class, they have to read this, versus how many of them are just in the library? That if my child checks them out.
Most of them are just in the library.
Exactly. Right. And at that point, I feel like that's my responsibility as a parent to know what my kid's reading.
I don't think
a librarian or a school district or a politician should say my kid can't check out this book.
I generally agree with that, but at the same time, have you seen some of the books?
Yes. Some of them are books I would not be comfortable with my child reading. But again, the other thing that's missing from the conversation is this book in a high school library.
Agreed.
Middle
Absolutely
school,
agreed.
Right? Like, and there is a difference.
And weirdly, can I take a second and give the school board some credit? Because what they didn't do well in the first round of book consideration that they did do better the second and third time is they started to think about age nuance in these books. And this is okay for
it
high
matters.
School. And that I absolutely agree. Yeah. So they did that part right. I want to give them credit for that. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And it looks like everything is running smoothly right now. We're not showing any slowdowns. All exits off I-10, I-110 reporting as clear. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
All right, so the political question. You know, I find President Trump at the moment to be attacking DeSantis. He's over the top in the attacks on DeSantis, but from the left. Like his attacks recently when it comes to abortion is, you know, how dare DeSantis sign in a 6-week abortion ban? And even his staffers had to delete their from the right criticisms of DeSantis because that was not aligned with what Trump is saying now. But this is kind of across the board. He's saying the things that the mainstream media folks that he always hates are saying. Who's winning in this conversation? Is Trump winning or is he? I think he starts to look too weak by over-attacking so early when DeSantis isn't even in the race. But we've only got a minute. It's an unfair question. Anna?
Yeah, I think he's losing on that talking point, on the abortion talking point.
With pro-life people.
Yeah, you know, yes. I've been involved in a number of polls in the state of Florida on life issues. And overwhelmingly, people are electing representatives who are pro-life and who they want to pass these bills. And these bills have been passed. The governor signed it. It's the will of the people. So I think Trump attacking on that is making him... putting him in a weaker position.
It's a weird place to be for the GOP primary, for sure.
Yeah,
I'm just popping popcorn and watching the show. I do think what we'll see going into this next election cycle, this is going to be the election cycle of unintended consequences.
Oh, well, so we will see. And there's a lot of shifting terrain. We'll say it that way.
Absolutely.
Finally, the Starbucks changing of the ice. going to the Nuggets.
The rabbit turd.
That's
ice.
Right, the rabbit
yes.
turd ice. That's
which,
Zach, I hope you heard that. Rabbit turds.
By the way, when you take a scoop of smaller ice, that means more ice compact being into the
it's
drink glass.
It's going to water down my espresso. I'm not for it. You're